Strange Home Life Insurance.
I'm sure on a Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock, people have other things they can be doing. It was very important for us to have one more convening of the task force for the reason that, as all of you know, we've been going back and forth on the final edits that were promised for the report. Our focus today, of course, is to revisit the recommendation section starting on page 23 of the report. The characteristics section is substantively the same, although there were edits for clarity. The recommendation section, I would argue, is different. It's more pointed and I think has a deeper layer of expectation associated with it, and in that regard is substantively different than what we saw before. And so out of the interest of fairness to everybody on the task force, after multiple iterations, I knew some people were not going to agree with everything in those recommendations, and I wanted people to have a fair opportunity to say that. There's no point here trying to cram things through if people don't agree with them. We want to be intellectually honest about it. It is important for us to reach a consensus. If we're not able to reach a consensus, then we just go back to the prior draft, which I sort of hope we don't do, just because I think it's not worded as well, and it's not as clear in terms of its direction or necessarily what it was we were discussing. So this makes an effort to clarify it. I want to thank the staff. Rick, thank you for sitting in for Jan and Kristen. I want to thank you for trying to handle many edit requests. It was a yeoman's effort, and I think you've done a fine job, and I appreciate it. So what we're going to do by way of agenda is take a look starting at page 23. We'll entertain comments, any changes or additions. We'll take a vote. At the end of the meeting, I'm going to update you on the next steps, in particular the September 15th presentation to the Joint Revenue Committee, and then we'll blissfully adjourn. So that's our agenda. We'll try to be as quick and thorough as possible today. So before we start, are there any questions about the process as I've laid it out?
Bert has a question. Is there an official vote or just a consensus like we had last time?
So ideally, the way we would do this is we would reach a consensus, but I want to be able to reflect that if task force members have significant issues with anything that we're putting in the report, I intend to state that as we reflect this to the committee. So if somebody likes everything about this, but they can't stand one aspect of it, I'm encouraging people to speak up and be clear about what the objections are so that I can accurately reflect, you know, on this issue, the task force is unanimous. On this issue, you were unanimous. On this issue, there was a division of opinion with respect to, you know, X, Y, or Z. I just want to be able to fairly present the views of the task force to the committee.
So there's not a separate minority report or anything official like that?
No, I think that starts to get a little more formal than where we actually are in the process. So let me give you just sort of an example. Let's say we get to the recommendation. I'm just throwing out a really stupid example for illustrative purposes. We get to the recommendation that we should take a deeper dive on best practices around information and education, and somebody says, no, I really think that's a dumb idea, we shouldn't do that, then I can reflect accurately to the Joint Revenue Committee that most people felt very comfortable taking a look at deep practice, you know, best practices around education, thought it was a good use of time, but we weren't unanimous. Some people thought it was a dumb idea because of A, B, or C. And that way, it just gives the committee an honest, full flavor of what, you know, what the pros and cons are. That's my objective. I don't want to, I'm somewhat reluctant just to say, the task force agreed because we had a majority rule. I think that does disservice to the committee. I think we owe them more of a nuanced approach to this. So that's my thinking, unless anybody objects.
Mr. Chairman, it's Dick Schwartz. I just have a question, and I don't mean to sound trivial on this, but at what point do we talk, or should it be after the meeting, about a few typos in it? Most of the situation, but there's one in the first, the lead paragraph under the savings characteristics where I think that a subject is dropped in the sentence.
Okay, well, why don't we do this, Dick? I think it's helpful to take care of it, and then if anybody notices any typos after the fact, misspellings, run-on sentences, whatever, I'm okay with people just giving us a call and saying, hey, what happened to the heading or what happened to the margin or whatever. That's fine. We don't need to waste everybody's time with that. So let me do this. Let's break this down again by section in the interest of time. First of all, let's start with the paragraphs. There's three paragraphs in the general overview. Are people comfortable with the general overview, or is there anything we've missed or forgotten, additions you'd like to make?
Bert here.
Yes, Bert.
The immediate, before I left on my business trip, we had one set of information. Of course, when we come back, we've got the latest. I noticed that what was left out on the general overview that appeared in the immediate previous rough draft was only 78% of employees with access to a plan at their workplace actually enroll and often save well below recommended levels. That was not in the first paragraph, and I think it was important for the Senate and the House to understand that there are problems out there more than just our task force. Lead a horse to water, but can you make them drink? I think that ought to be put back in.
Very good. Discussion on that point?
It's Dick Schwartz. I think that's embodied in the narrative, discussion. I read it when I was rereading it about an hour ago. I'm pretty sure I ran across that. I didn't mark it, but I believe it's in the report.
Somewhere in the report, but not in the recommendation section here. And let's face it, the majority of legislators aren't going to go through all those pages. They're going to look at the general overview. And I think that's important from the point of view of the private sector and looking at the mountain we have to climb to make this thing work. When 20% of my people who have even matching money won't sign up for it, I know there's a need. And it highlights the need.
It's that page. The bottom of page 5, or the last half of page 5 and the top of page 6, and it ends exactly with what you said. While individuals without an employer-sponsored retirement savings plan could save in an IRA, research estimates that only, in fact, exactly what you said, Bert, only 1 out of 20 actually do so regularly.
I just want
Does anybody have any strenuous objections to putting that back in?
Well, it's Dick Schwartz again. I like where the recommendations are clean and straightforward, and it's the recommendations that are going forth, not a restatement of all of the facts that are laid out that led to the recommendation. So I guess I'm not going to obstruct, but I think if we get into that, we'll end up putting the whole report back into the recommendations.
I see what you're saying, Dick.
It might be helpful. Sorry, this is Kristen chiming in. I could put that back into the...
Kristen, I'm sorry. Can you move closer to the phone phone or whatever? You're very hard to hear.
Well, maybe we can have her come and sit at the dais. There's nobody up here. Sorry,
just for now, though, I could add that into the executive summary. One of the reasons I took it out is because Marlene was concerned about all of the figures that were in the introductory paragraphs, and so that was in response to one of his concerns about it. But I'm happy to do whatever the task force would like.
I'm rather adamant on this being.
And I was one of the voices for trying to streamline the recommendations and not restate context that we state in the rest of the report. You know, it's not going to break my heart if we add it back in, but I do think, we're trying to present streamlined recommendations, and we have all this great context in the rest of the report, and we're trying not to be redundant too. So, you know, I favor sticking with the current revision, but I won't, you know, block consensus to get there.
I think the state deserves, the legislature deserves this piece of knowledge.
All right. But that knowledge is there.
You have to dig for it.
I think how much, I mean, the whole thing you have to dig. Well, I'm not going to.
Well, let me suggest this is a compromise position. Dick, I think your point's well taken, and I don't want to get into the exercise here of trying to restate the entire report again on page 23. That said, it's obviously important to BERT. So does anybody strenuously object if we put this particular item back in?
Can somebody restate it so I remember where we started?
Yeah, thank you. Kristen, or whoever's taking notes, maybe it's you, Rick. Are you the official note taker?
Well, I'm going to defer to Kristen.
Okay.
So then it would
I'm
be...
I'm expecting to hear back concise language, just what the subject, what it was that Bert raised.
It was on the previous one that we had earlier in the week.
It's just bringing back up the take-up rate.
Only 78% of employees with access to a plan at their workplace actually enroll and often save well below recommended levels. And this is the one that came out Friday before I left town. Had a chance to review it when I got back. I thought it was in till we got the one a day or so ago and said, oops, it's gone. I thought it was an improvement. So it's right in black and white on the previous general overview. It's the one thing I liked the most, and it's the one thing that was edited out.
All right, well, and please understand, Bert, there's no... No harm, no foul. We had an equally strenuous objection from another committee member who wanted it taken out, but he's not here. So you win. It goes back in.
Thank you very much.
No, you're welcome. Anything else on the general overview?
Well, since we're speaking, we could add in the first sentence of the second paragraph, retirement security has historically been a matter of both shared and personal responsibility. But I'm not wedded to that. If there was unanimity, then I would be fine. If not, I'm fine with not amending at this point.
Any discussion?
Dick Schwartz, I'm good with that since we use the term historically because we discussed at length the transition from defined benefit to defined contribution in the report itself.
Yeah.
So, all right, very good. Any objections to adding that in? Can somebody, is that you, Jim, or I can't tell who proposed that.
That's me.
Jim, could you reread that, please, for the record so that Kristen can carefully copy that down?
While retirement security has historically been seen as a matter of shared as well as personal responsibility, it is rapidly becoming so.
I got it.
Pleading what, sorry.
This is Rick Bracobi, and just as a matter of, we're also recording this, so Kristen will be able to replay the recording immediately and capture this.
Okay. Thanks, Rick. Okay, good. Anything else on the general overview, or can we move on? All right, moving on. So the characteristics section, we'll take that up now. The characteristics section has not changed in substance, but the language has changed. I'll just ask, are there any questions or revisions? I think, Dick, is this the section you said you saw a problem?
It's a grammatical problem. In the sentence after the comma in the second line, the task force recommends developing and making available to all Oregonians lacking access to a retirement savings plan at their workplace. I think
You're right. I can word that sentence much better. Dick, thank you.
Yeah, I think a subject is missing from that subordinate clause.
You're correct.
All right.
Okay, good catch. Anything else on plan characteristics?
I have one point. It was the old number 9 on the previous one. It said employers should be responsible for distributing retirement plan materials produced by the plan provider to their employees and providing employee payroll information to the plan provider, basically the underwriting ways to figure out how to administer it. That shows up, but not under the 9 important points. Maybe it could be put back in, because the question remains, who's going to do that? If the employers aren't going to dish up the information, how else is it going to be found outside of hiring a bunch of people to research it? So somehow I think that should be worked back in to the 9 points, maybe under, I think my previous notes are number 6, reports to savers accounts should be individual and account information should be regularly reported to each participant. Then employers should be responsible for distributing retirement plan materials produced by the plan provider to their employees and providing employee payroll information to the plan. It being so important, these 9 points, although it's mentioned further down in the text, I think it was originally part of the 9 earlier, and it deserves a spot under the 9 now. If we're looking to compare plans and what the private sector can do, the public sector, allying ourselves to PERS or some other retirement plan. Employers may find that burdensome, but it's going to have to be a burden they're going to have to bear, obviously, if there's going to be a new retirement plan created that they're going to be participating in. So that ought to be clear right from the get-go.
As long as it's in the section that we're talking about, the overall recommendations, I think the 9 characteristics are characteristics of the plan itself. And the statement that you're talking about is not a characteristic of the plan, but the administrative part, as you point out, which we all discussed in the course of the task force about only a minimal role for the employer, and it explains what that is in the part that you're citing, but I don't think it's one of the characteristics of the investment program or plan itself.
Okay, I'll buy that. It was in the previous 9 points, so somewhere along the line there's a decision to edit it out, and I just thought it made it clearer to anybody looking at our 9 points. But I'll go with what the majority wants.
Bert, I think just reading ahead here, what happened is it ended up instead in the small business outreach section. It's the first point under small business outreach on page 24.
Correct.
Under this program, employers should be responsible for distributing retirement plan materials by the plan provider to their employees, blah, 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 blah.
I agree. It did show back up. I just thought it was interesting that it went to another location to live. But I'll go with it. It's fine. It's there. It's there, and it's important.
Okay. Thank you, Bert. I appreciate it. Any further discussion on this? Any further discussion on the plan characteristics, or can we move to program governance and management? Let's rock. All right. Sorry. Let's rock. All right. We're rocking. Program governance and management. Comment. Any objections to the program governance and management? All right, moving on to the additional program component. Comments, thoughts, revisions? Can I ask an aside, Tess?
I'm sorry.
Can I ask an aside on the RFP? It requests appropriation of funds. Will we be prepared at some time to suggest what amount that might be, or is it just going to be a request for a sum sufficient? And I'm not suggesting that it go in here. So.
Yeah, hey, Kristen, can you clarify that? At this stage, we haven't talked dollars or cents. What is your thinking with regard to the amount of funding for an RFP or an RFI? Should it be in here, or is that something we can leave to the legislative body?
That's something we can leave to the legislative body. It will certainly be something that we need to discuss moving forward, as we're going to need to make a request for that, and they will probably be asking us how much we think we need. But so that's definitely on our radar for next steps after this. This, at least these recommendations, give us somewhere to go that we know we need to ask for a recommendation, and the committee will know that that a request for appropriations will be coming.
I'm good. Okay, so we don't need to specify an amount at this point. We're basically giving them notice that we will be making an ask.
Yeah, correct. At this point in time, we don't have enough information to be able to give an amount.
Okay, and then, any other issues on that particular section?
My only concern is just the way they are delineated. I think I would, they're not set out in a timeline, but it seems that legal guidance would precede a lot of this, though it's further down the list, but I assume that's kind of obvious. It seems that would precede the market research and the outreach and all of that, that we'll have, once we have a plan in mind, we'll seek legal guidance before proceeding.
If I may comment on that, we went around and around and around on the order of things, and what we concluded was that we really need to do a full court press on all of these issues simultaneously, because they're all interrelated in one way or another. We can't really answer the ERISA questions or ask for an expedited review unless we've addressed some of the other issues first. And so what we decided to do was, rather than trying to complete the impossible task of figuring out a specific order, we decided to simply take out the order of things altogether.
This is Ann. I think that's appropriate. You know, I think that as we get a little bit more clarity about exactly what level of specificity we have to provide to get this DOL opinion, then we'll calibrate our efforts. And if it becomes clear that one thing definitely can happen after that, you know, I'm sure we'll sequence our work so that we're doing the essential stuff at the right time. So I'm comfortable with it being not totally specified right now, just because we are still learning. I mean, we have information that we're gathering, and we'll make the right decisions as we get that additional information.
Cool. All right. Any other comments or thoughts on that point? All right. On that particular section, the additional program components. Was somebody going to say something?
Rick, do you have one on legal guidance?
Legal guidance, we covered that. We haven't, have we?
We're in the entire additional program section,
sure.
So
okay.
If you want to go there, you can.
I'm good till then.
Go ahead.
I'm fine. Continue.
No, you can do legal guidance.
I have some questions on legal guidance.
We're on that part.
We're on legal guidance.
Any of the things under the heading of additional program components, so market research, small business outreach, legal guidance, I forgot the tax credits and incentives, financial literacy, any of those are fair game for discussion right now.
Okay, Bert goes again. The immediately previous legal guidance section, which was shorter, said, the task force recommends seeking an expedited opinion from the U.S. Department of Labor regarding permissible state action under ERISA, outlining specific program elements whereby the state would establish a program accessible to all Oregonians. It seems to be replaced by it's a longer paragraph. To ensure that the program program implemented complies with ERISA, and that account holders receive the tax benefits associated with retirement savings under the Internal Revenue Code, the task force recommends that the legislature appropriate funds, which is good, for the state to obtain guidance from legal experts in coordination with other states facing similar ERISA concerns and other outstanding legal questions. So we've gone from the state of Oregon looking at specific elements, which I think we agree maybe the specific element is opt-out, and if opt-out is shot down, it kind of throws a big monkey wrench in the works to getting it together with other states. I personally like to see Oregon be a leader, just come out and find out what's going on with the opt-out and not mamby-pamby around. That was the language in the previous draft. I don't know if we can amend this, but for the record, I'd like to say I think it's why doesn't Oregon take the lead in this on the and because that specific program element, I think, is probably opt-out that would make a big difference. Comments?
Dick Schwartz. Bert, if you recall, on the 15th of July, there was a draft of elements for just for discussion, and then there was a rough draft, working draft of a report with the elements included in it and recommendations. And in that, and it was in a bulleted list, it said that, and in it we said that treasurer's office should be responsible for it, but that's not critical to me. But that, and we had extensive discussion on it also about in effect saving some money and coordinating with other states, since many states are going to have the same kinds of legal questions, and it would be simpler to ask that set of questions once instead of us asking them and California asking them and others, whoever might want to engage. And it doesn't require that we go forward only if the other states engage, but that if there's a common list of questions, we can at least combine them, those common questions, mm-hmm. and get a set, single set of answers. Mm-hmm. And everybody can save some money and some time.
This is Ann. I kind of agree with how you're interpreting it, Dick. I don't feel like that language compels us only to act in unison with other jurisdictions. I think it encourages the legislature to coordinate with other people who are doing synergistic stuff, and check in with them. And I don't think we define exactly what coordination means, and I certainly don't read that to exclude action that is, for Oregon without others. Just encourages us to coordinate where we can.
Ted, a general opinion question by you. Do you think there's economy of numbers by having other states asking the same question at the same time, that ERISA may be more pliable in granting certain things they hadn't thought of before?
Well, we had difficulty in guessing their thinking when they said very clearly to us that they don't give opinions or speculative responses. They just deal with whatever's placed in front of them, and I think the idea was to place common set of questions in front of them and get them asked, and that way we don't get states getting variations on answers either. That may be answering the same question, but given the way the question was phrased, we get a slightly variable response. And this way we get some common responses as well to common questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I could throw in too, this is Ted, and I think in large measure responsible for that language being put in, and it really results from my just being cheap and economical. I wanted to make sure that if there were other states treading the same water, that we didn't have to tread it alone. But I agree with the premise of your question that Oregon should take a leadership role if other states aren't prepared to move forward. And I also agree with Representative Leininger that I don't read this, nor was it intended to be in any way exclusive, requiring participation of other states. It's just an opportunity to economize.
Any further discussion on that? Bert, are you okay with that then?
Yes, I am.
After this? Okay, good. Anything else in this section? The section of additional program components, or can we move on to limitations?
I want to thank you, whoever's the person responsible, for putting in the word there on the education, financial literacy education, and values education. Financial literacy, the word literacy means, hey, it's good for people who can read and be involved in classes and stuff and understand, but the values education is for everybody from the top to the bottom in school to get the feeling and understand it, so I appreciate that being put in. Thank you.
Actually, Bert, I hadn't thought about that much because I understood your position and why that was put in there, but now I'm reflecting on the education community and in particular parents, and when you say values education without a modifier, people tend to think we're talking about all kinds of, quote, values, and I wonder if you would have a problem if it said, and financial values education.
I'd be fine with that, because okay. You're right, it's catch-all terms, so people don't know just whether you're talking about religion, whether you're talking about this or that, so that additional clarification, I think, is excellent.
Does anybody have any problems with the modifier being added, financial to values? All right, anything else in this section? Limitations down below, hasn't been touched, but I just want to make sure everybody's still okay with it. Anybody have any objections to limitations going once, going twice? Okay, so we've worked through. Here's what I'm going to ask us to do now that we've gone through this section by section. Just for the record, I'm going to ask that we take a vote on the entirety of the recommendations, and I'm going to actually call the roll since we can't see people raising their hands. And Rick will let me know if I'm doing anything wrong procedurally here. Is this the right way to go about it, Rick?
Well, or you can let our assistant call the roll as well if you'd like. And we normally then would call you.
I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to let you earn your paycheck today. How about that?
Thank you. I'm going to defer the paycheck earning to Jessica Wangler then to call the roll.
May I ask one question before this? How do we handle a written proxy by, say, Harley Spring? Is that counted as a vote, or is non-presence takes them out of the loop?
So what I'm going to try and do, since he is not here and I've not yet reviewed his email, I'm assuming that I can reach out to him, or a member of my team can reach out to him between now and the 15th, and we will ascertain which specific issues he has fundamental disagreement about. And then we will reflect that in our testimony to the committee.
Okay, so that's fine. He may call me and ask me. We don't communicate very often. We haven't been in collusion on this at all.
Okay, well, I want to be fair to Harley. I mean, this was sort of a last-minute meeting on a Friday afternoon, and so I don't think it's fair, knowing that he has some objections, to shut his voice out. So we'll couch whatever, but we'll say that, we'll take the vote, and we'll see where we are after that.
I do have his two little paragraphs where he made his summary of his position, if it helps.
Mr. Chairman, I would have the same question. I did not see, but I understood at the beginning of this meeting that someone said Ilana had also sent an email. I don't know what the content is, if it's similar or not. You'll give it the same treatment?
Yes, I absolutely will. Kristen, you had conversations with Ilana, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Is there anything you feel comfortable sharing with the committee about those conversations?
She did not express any objections to me about this. She seemed okay with it, but I don't want to speak for her because she did not. I haven't seen any email from her subsequent.
Okay. So
and I haven't talked to her since I knew she was thinking.
To reach out to her as well.
I will, absolutely.
Is that okay with everybody? Do people agree that that's the right thing to do, or does anybody disagree with that?
If you could just clarify, Dick Schwartz, if you could just clarify what, because I got confused with what Bert threw in at the end about including Harley's two paragraphs. I think I would have an objection to that since I.
To be clear, we are not going to include any paragraphs that people have suggested, particularly since I haven't seen them and they're not here to explain what those paragraphs mean. But if I'm assuming Harley will have objections in the absence of us including that language, and I want to accurately reflect whatever his objections are about the current language.
Okay. Does that sound right to people?
Yeah.
Yes, that sounds fine.
Yep. Yeah, he didn't have objections to this specific, any other than he had raised. But you can read the email.
Okay, and I will absolutely endeavor to do that. We'll reach out to both Harley and Elena. And at any rate, that's that. So without further ado, we're voting on the recommendation in total now. And Rick, if you could go ahead and call the roll.
Bert Guptill.
Yay.
Jim Hauser.
Yay.
Ann Leininger.
Yes.
Vice Chair Schwartz.
Yes.
Chair Wheeler.
Aye. Okay. So we have of those present, which is a strong majority of the task force present, we have adopted the recommendations. In terms of next steps, we're presenting to the Joint Revenue Committee on Monday. We will probably try and be as brief as possible. I know that they have a fairly full agenda. Kristen, is there anything else you want to tell the committee about the hearing on Monday?
I know I have nothing to add.
Do we know the time or the place?
Yes, I don't know which hearing room it will be, and I don't have that in my notes, but it will be at, we are scheduled to be on the agenda at 10 a.m.
Hearing room A. Oh,
thank you. And it's a half an hour. We're scheduled for 10 to 10:30.
Okay, so at present, as I understand it, they have asked me to go ahead as chair and present the task force recommendations. If other people would like to attend and participate, I'm certainly very much open to that. Please communicate with Kristen directly if that would be your interest. Certainly you're all allowed to participate. And the hearing, is this hearing going to be on the live stream? Do you know, Kristen?
Yes.
Okay, so it will be available if people want to watch it remotely or watch it later.
Yes.
This is Ann. I'm going to be at it, just so you know. So if you decide it would be helpful for me to participate, I'm happy to. But I'll be there to watch and cheer you on.
I'll be there also. It's Dick Schwartz.
Great. Fantastic. That's great. So let's talk between now and then, and we'll figure out the right strategy.
If I have enough quarters left, I'll be there.
Okay, great. So that is it, unless we have other. Comments for the good of the order.
We need to
I don't
vote on
think
the
we have any public comments today, do we? Rick, do we have any public comments?
We only have two people in the audience, and I don't think anybody is here to comment. No.
Okay, very good. Any other comments for the good of the order? All right, well, let me just say that, again, I really appreciate the incredible amount of work everybody's put into this. It's been very interesting and very challenging, and I appreciate everything everybody's done. And Rick, if you could please pass on to Jan how much we appreciate her tireless efforts on this. Kristen, you've done a yeoman's effort, and I thank you for it. So without further ado, the task force is adjourned for now.
Thank you all.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.